Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we'll be in Matthew 15 as Jesus goes head-to-head with the religious leaders of the day. When Jesus arrived, he was a light shining in the darkness. For a lot of people, light is a welcome relief from their confusion and fear. But not everyone appreciates the light. Some of them loved their darkness, and that flashlight pointed their way would reveal things that they didn't want seen. Well, Jonathan Ferguson is with us again. So Jonathan, why don't you take it away?
Thanks, Chris. We start the chapter off with the return of the Pharisees. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Now, for the Pharisees, the washing of hands had nothing to do with hygiene, like when I tell my boys to wash their hands before they eat. This hand washing was a ritual cleansing, a washing to purify themselves from earthly defilement. It was not in the law, but was part of the traditions of the elders. These traditions were man-made laws, attempts by the religious leaders to show their holiness through strict obedience. The religious leaders attempted to force their traditions on all Jews, placing what Jesus will call later heavy burdens on the backs of the Jewish faithful.
So pay close attention to the difference between the traditions of man and the law of God. Over the years, that line of distinction had blurred, and the man-made rules took on the authority level of the law itself. Some leaders even felt that the traditions were more important than the law of Moses itself. In this case, the added regulations on hand washing would be over 60 pages if printed today. I don't know what they did for 60 pages, but I think your food's getting cold. So, this is not an argument over sanitary guidelines. It's about following their rules. So Jesus turns it around, and he asks them in verse 3, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" And he brings up a man-made tradition called Korban. Jonathan, explain this one for us.
All right. So the Pharisees knew that the law said, honor your father and mother. But they didn't want to abide by its implications. You know, they might have to financially support their parents in the old age. But that would mean they couldn't afford the 3-camel garage on their new lakefront home in Capernaum. And so they came up with an ingenious way of dealing with it. They would dedicate their wealth to the work of God, calling it Korban, and then keep it all for themselves as they saw themselves as doing the work of God. The oath that they used was an oath that was, according to the traditions, completely unbreakable. Even if it was spoken rashly, the oath was binding, and so they wouldn't be able to help their poor parents, as all their wealth had been dedicated to God.
Now that's what I call twisted righteousness. It's manipulating God's law to serve self. And so Jesus goes on the offense. Starting in verse 6, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees. "Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus attacks these religious hypocrites, these men of false righteousness. And then he turns back to the issue of eating. Verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them."
Now, it's easy to miss the revolutionary subversiveness of this statement. What he said had enormous ramifications. First, by saying this, Jesus declared that all foods were clean, something that Mark makes clear in his version of the story. The Jews followed a strict dietary law that prohibited such delicious things as bacon-wrapped scallops. Jesus replaces the traditional Jewish understanding of what causes defilement and shows that true defilement comes from the heart, not the stomach. Secondly, by saying this, he told the Pharisees that all of their traditions were useless. The traditions were just rules taught by man. They had no use in true righteousness, for they allowed sins of the heart to flourish. Look at verse 17. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimonies, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them."
Now here's why it's so important to search the scriptures daily to see if what you're being taught is really God's word. There are a lot of traditions out there claiming to be truth. Some are just culture, but Some are outright cults, but we must distinguish between our own traditions and God's word. Tradition isn't bad, but it should never supersede the word of God. And whatever traditions you follow, make sure that your righteousness comes from the heart.
And Jesus again returns to the parables he taught a few chapters back. Verse 13, he replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." Jesus compares the Pharisees to the tares that the enemy planted in the king's field. Eventually, they would be uprooted and destroyed.
Now in verse 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So here, Jesus heads outside of Israel's borders into Gentile territory. Tyre and Sidon, a trading seaport notorious for wickedness in the Old Testament. There he meets a woman whose daughter has a demon. Now the disciples ask Jesus to send this woman away. I mean, not only was she a Gentile, but she was a Canaanite, Israel's enemy.
And it appears that Jesus seems to agree with them at first. Look at verse 24. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." When she asks again for help, he responds in verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, this seems harsh, but let's take a look at it from the disciples' perspective. Their world had just been rocked by Jesus turning the traditions concerning unclean food upside down. Then he takes them to Gentile territory, a place filled with unclean people. Many Jews would have felt justified in sending this woman away, but Jesus was about to subvert the disciples' views on the Gentiles. Clearly, Jesus was not planning on sending her away empty-handed, but he is using this opportunity as a teaching tool for his disciples. So when Jesus seems to call this woman a dog, he's drawing on the attitudes of the disciples. Jews looked at Gentiles as dogs, and not like the cute ones that Americans love to dress up. No, they looked at them as unclean pests that you would throw rocks at.
Now, Jonathan, I know there in Kenya that dogs are just used to protect the house, but I don't think that they've met my little terrier, George McDuff. He is the world's cuddliest dog. But for the Jews, dogs were unclean, and so were Gentiles. And perhaps Jesus was simply giving voice to the disciples' thinking. I'm not sure, but watch how the woman responds. She doesn't get offended over words and walk away. Look at verse 27. "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. But then she adds, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, this is only the second time that Jesus praises someone for their faith, and both were Gentiles. Remember, Jesus' disciples were raised to believe that Gentiles were dogs. They were dirty and wicked, and enough Gentiles acted like it to make it very easy to believe it. For you and I understand. A lot of Christians arrive in church with built-in racism, but Jesus does not leave us that way. He teaches us to love. For the disciples, Jesus revealed to them that even Gentiles that respond in faith will enter God's kingdom. They too would be God's people.
And following this story, we come to a passage that might seem a little familiar. Now, Jesus had already fed 5,000, so what's the big deal about him feeding 4,000? There are a few differences, but the important one is this. This miracle was performed north of the Sea of Galilee, in Gentile territory. And Jesus not only fed them, but he healed their sick, gave sight to the blind, and raised the lame onto their feet. Jesus was doing the same miracles for the Gentiles that he had done for the Jews back in chapter 14. Jesus was again challenging the cultural views of his disciples.
And hopefully, we too will allow our traditions to be challenged by the Word of God. If our traditions or our subtle racisms go against God's Word, remember what Peter told the religious leaders in Acts 5. We must obey God rather than men.
Matthew chapter 15, the subversive kingdom on Through the Word.
Thanks for joining us for today's quick audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.